Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey kids, do you like professional wrestling? Well, we like professional wrestling too. This is Shake Them Ruffs. I am Jeff Hawkins, riding solo on a Saturday evening. Chris got sick, tapped out at the last moment. And then the two people I wanted to bring in to fill in for him, unfortunately, it was far too late to make it work. So, gonna get me. I wanted to get something out there. Do a bit 30 minutes. No Vader Club this week because there was no selection. We'll get a little bit back to normal next week, so you're gonna have to hear me and ah as I try and pretend to have a conversation with myself. A little bit of housekeeping before we begin. The Ask Me Anything or Ask Us Anything show is gonna be in a few weeks. We always tape one of these for holiday considerations, because quite frankly, don't want to watch wrestling while you're on vacations of various types. So if you have any questions, be they wrestling, I would prefer non-wrestling this time around. Most of the ones we've gotten past couple years have been pure wrestling type of stuff. You know, pop culture, music. Try and stay away from the politics because I'll make Chris mad by owning him. But you can either DM me at either the Blue Sky account, which is Jeff Hawkins, the Twitter account, which is CrapGame13, or CrapGame13 at gmail.com. I will gather those. I will forward them to Chris, and we'll probably tape a show in about a week or so to fill in that gap between New Year's and Christmas. Might be our last Ask Us Anything. To editorialize a little bit, I'm thinking of ending the show. And it's nothing Chris or anything to that effect. It's just I don't enjoy this era of wrestling right now, even though I find some good things in it. It's not. And the other thing is I'm looking at Raw and I'm looking at SmackDown, and they're both looking to go to 3 hours. That's a huge time sink with pay-per-views to watch. I mean, we do the Lazy River to try, you know, because we don't have time to watch everything. It doesn't help when you make the Lazy River that much longer, you know. And it's also my age. I think I've aged out a bit of wrestling commentary. I think there are younger people doing better jobs than I am. I just sound like an old guy ranting that I don't like the way things are now and I want the things to be the way they used to be. And, you know, and I don't know. I mean, even the people who are doing it well right now are getting long in the tooth, and they're, you know, fans of the, well, we just want work rate and 3.5-star, 4-star matches on TV every week. And it's like, okay, cool. But, you know, there are other voices out there. I'd like to latch on to an existing product versus building my own territory too. So it's part of that, you know, I'd like to kind of rotate in. So you know, I think I'm good about once every 4 weeks. I think that's pretty much my, you know, I'm batting 250. It's pretty much my standard of excellence at this point, but, it's just something to consider. you know, if you disagree, let me know. If you agree, let me know. I don't know. It was just something where I'm watching this week. I'm just going, yeah, everything's kind of good, but I'm not really excited for anything. But we'll talk about it. I think NXT, AEW, and WWE all had pretty good weeks, to be honest with you. And speaking of NXT, I just finished watching Deadline, which, you know, not to reuse some of my tropes, but perfectly cromulent show. I think the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge was the obvious standout, other than maybe the tag team title match was very, very good. And Axiom and Nathan Frazier are a phenomenal tag team in terms of their pacing. I think, look, if we're expanding SmackDown to 3 hours, they fit in with the DIYs and the Motor City Machine Guns of the roster. The problem is you have the Street Profits, who are just ginormous compared to all those guys and should really probably be the champs. If you're doing a size type thing, it's very odd. I mean, but you also can't then just, I mean, like if you put Axiom and Frazier on the Raw roster and you put them up against like the Authors of Pain, that's going to be kind of comical at times. I would be interested to watch that, but they're not going to get the credibility. They're going to be the small, fast guys. And we already have that problem kind of with Umberto and Garza and, you know, the other two LWO kids. And, you know, we have a lot of small guy tag teams already. I'd like to just put them all in one place, give them their own territory and then let them go kind of a thing. That would be my idea. WWE, of course, differs, and they also have that trade portal that's going on. It's just a mess. If you can have a draft, stick to it. That's all I ask, but apparently Netflix wants some people, and new money always wins the day with WWE. We saw that when SmackDown signed that big deal, and then they started building up that roster a bit. But Iron Survivor Challenge for the women? Sublime. It was exactly everything it should have been. The three people that they see as stars, Zarya, Julia, and Stephanie Vaquer, all looked great. I would say Stephanie Vaquer probably needed a little bit more shine in the match. The one that they're not sure is going to be a star, Sol Ruka, was pretty darn fantastic and did a crazy handspring elbow outside to the floor, not wearing a knee brace, which is both good news and bad news, because that means she's going to be doing this more, and I get nervous about those things. I just, that thing, you can pull it out every so often. I don't want to see it every so often. And really, Maddie Renkowski, a.k.a. Ren Sinclair, I always call her Maddie. I need to get used to calling her Ren. The glue person. And watching this match, if you don't see that in this match, I don't know what to tell you. She was both in the spot she needed to be while also putting the personality of the clown who's not supposed to be in there type of a thing. And the story eventually became everybody has a pinfall except her, and then she gets one, and then she gets killed for the second pinfall by Julia, who wins this. But yeah, Matt, Ren is... Ren has come into her own in NXT, and I'm happy. I mean, you guys know if you've listened for a while that I thought she got a bit of a raw deal with AEW. I thought she got a raw deal with the fans, who were especially the Bianca Belair stans, who thought she was copying the braid. She's pretty darn fantastic, I think. So, like NXT Women's Division, I hope it doesn't get poached for these 3 hour shows, just to put people in there. Like, you don't need Jasmine Nix on the main roster just yet until she finds herself. You don't need a lot of these generic blondes, as I like to call them, up there yet. While they're still trying to get some seasoning, there are some people that, you know, could be brought up, but, you know, for the most part, you're fine where you're at. Other matches, the men's Iron Survivor, it was fine. Obafemi replacing Eddie Thorpe. Thought this might be where a member of the new bloodline, quote unquote, would be showing up, but it wasn't. Yeah, I mean, look, it was a lot of nice set pieces. Obafemi obviously won. They obviously see something in him. There was nothing to talk about. The NXT Underground match between Lola Vice and Jada Parker was good, but it just kept going and going. And then it got into pro wrestling stuff. And that's where I kind of just started looking at my phone and started. It was good, but it's one of those things where I think, I know they don't want to do a round system because of the cup and all those rules, but at least, you know, do like the old Pride FC rules where you have the 10-minute stamina round and 2 5-minute rounds, maybe. Yeah, because this thing needs rounds, because fights can't contain those, that momentum for that long if they're real. And I think once you get over that hump and you start doing like weird, you know, gimmicky interference spots with props and things, people start to tune out. People like the quote-unquote fake reality of a worked MMA match. I'm not the biggest worked MMA guy in the world, but it's one of those things where it's like once they went to like the black belt from the gi and the brick and whatnot, it was just kind of like, all right, let's just take this home instead and make somebody look like a badass. Chris is more of a Lola Vice fan than I am. I think she's good. I hate the dancing from her. I like my badasses. I don't need my badasses to dance. Jada Parker is a badass. She's a revelation. I don't know where she fits though. If she gets brought up, maybe away. If they've decided to promote Metaphor, maybe on the opposite show. Because she has a character that stands out, but it's not quite as different as Lash and her partner, Ms. Jackson. Or, yeah, it's, I think she may need a refurb if she gets called the main roster without Out the Mud. I think Out the Mud really makes, you know, and they... I actually was joking about this. It was the battle of the two Grand Theft Auto entrances, which I'm a big Grand Theft Auto guy, so I love that. But I mean, it was a good match. Don't get me wrong. It just kind of outlived its welcome a bit. And then you had Trick and Ridge Holland, and Brian Alvarez brought this up on his show this week, and it's a fantastic idea in my opinion. So I'm gonna give him credit and then tell you all about it if you didn't hear it first. Ridge Holland should replace Big E in the New Day because it's just a massive amount of heat. Now, is he the same worker as Big E? God, no. By God, no means is Ridge Holland as good as Big E. There were some points in this match tonight against Trick Williams that he lost. Trick Williams retains. Now you get the big hoss match with him and Obafemi. I'm kind of here for it, but... Ridge was good, and he's gotten some of the personality things down, and he's improved. But there was one moment, there was a moment where he got a two count, and he was supposed to be angry, and you could see the wheel spinning. Okay, here's where I'm supposed to kick the ropes in frustration. And it wasn't very convincing. I don't necessarily see Ridge Holland dancing around like the New Day, but... It would be kind of fun to watch, yes? I think if they're going to be quote-unquote serious heels, I think that would be the move. It was reported that originally they were going to pick Odyssey Jones over Big E until Odyssey got fired. Okay, if you're going to do that, you could have brought up Obafemi to do the gig, too. And Obafemi is much better, but he's also a much bigger star than Odyssey Jones would ever be. But Ridge Holland kind of fits in perfectly as a guy who's not going to overshadow Woods and Kofi and could probably learn a lot from Woods and Kofi throughout. And, you know, his first day on the main roster, he was fine, but he was a vanilla red shirt. Here he's a less vanilla red shirt, but he's going to be a red shirt nevertheless. So, I mean, and somebody needs to take the falls for the New Day, and that's the guy to do it. I'm good with that. No big, you know, they don't do the people are in the crowd type of thing for NXT anymore. They did a couple of post Iron Survivor angles with with Javon and Wesley. So that looks like that's going to be for New Year's Evil. They showed Ethan Page talking to someone. Don't know who, but I think it's assumed it's Josh Alexander. Maybe it was just a cameraman. I don't know. My my speakers were not turned up at that time, and the dishwasher was going, so I was just kind of like half asleep on the couch watching it, so who knows. But overall, you know, I mean, for a Saturday night, if you weren't a football fan, it was perfectly cromulent. A couple hours of wrestling, a lot of video packages in between to space out the thing, so it was much longer show than it should have been. Feel free to fast forward through the commercials, and you'll probably like the show a lot better. Starting to learn that about WWE. It's the opposite of AEW, which just does match it, match it, match it, match it. You're like, I want to pee at some point, Tony Khan. Let me go to the restroom, for God's sake, so get some snacks. Come on. But we'll talk about AEW in a little bit. Let's do some news. Maryland Judge James Breeder ruled on December 4th that granted the WWE's request to put the Ring Boys lawsuit on hold, potentially for another 9 months, pending a Maryland Supreme Court case ruling on the legality of the law that led to the suit being filed. Attorneys for the WWE and TKO filed 2 days earlier to get a stay put on the Ring Boys lawsuit against WWE, TKO, Vince, and Linda McMahon on the grounds that the reason it's been filed, a new law in Maryland, could be declared unconstitutional. I believe that the argument about the new law is about the statute of limitations and how it would be cruel and unusual to keep to not allow or to basically litigate those matters so far into the future because recollections are hazy, et cetera, et cetera. Count me as a person who hopes it's kept constitutional. I think you need it because people who prey on children for the reason that it's that they need a law like this. Because it does get repressed, because you do have to live with it for so long, and you do have to, you know, drive it deep down into the depths of your soul sometimes. I might be a little bit talking out of school here, but some of my memories came back at the happiest time in my life, which kind of sucked. But yeah, I am all for making people who molest children not ever feel safe or that they got away with it. Maybe that just makes me a terrible person. If you want to hear some other terrible opinions, talk politics with me sometime, but I'm kind of a law and order guy, so I am like, I don't care if the Archdiocese of Baltimore would like this to go away after 18 years because there was an agreement. I think that's also part of it. I think there was an agreement with the now bankrupt Archdiocese of Baltimore that, oh, they won't litigate this after 10 years, whatever type of a thing, and now that has to be, you know, backtracked on or something like that. But yeah, I hope. Look, Mel Phillips is a piece of crap, and I would like some of these now men to get their day in court, to be honest with you. How to talk about the Ryan Nemeth case with AEW. Fightful reporting that receiving documentation regarding a complaint filed by Ryan Nemeth against AEW regarding his treatment in regards to incidents involving CM Punk in 2023. Let me try and give the Cliff Notes version, and if it's not correct, go to Fightful Select. Our friend Sean Ross Sapp is over there doing good work. Has a long, long explanation, but here's what it is. Ryan Nemeth, when CM Punk came out and, you know, for the, after he was injured, and Nemeth tweeted, softest man alive, and then tried to play it off like it was in-character heel stuff. And it wasn't. And then he'd be brought to television, and CM Punk, God bless CM Punk and Phil Brooks, but he has what we like to call, I just learned of this term and I found it hilarious, Irish Alzheimer's. CM Punk forgets everything except his grudges. Well, Punk didn't take this well. Supposedly they had shook hands and everything backstage, as was the report. But Punk kept threatening, getting in a fight, and he kept saying, hey, I don't want him on my territory, aka Collision, even though the office would bring him in. And so Ryan, worried about his job, went to Mega Parikh in legal, who was the chief legal officer at the time, and said, hey, I'm worried about this. What should I do? And she was like, well, don't worry, kind of a thing. Someone in the office suggested he go out and cut a promo on Collision. That sounds like one of the worst ideas possible, even though he is kind of a geek heel. And for the most part, it sounds like everybody he talked to kind of said, yeah, that seems really bad, but we're not going to do anything about it. And Ryan's like, I'm going to HR. I'm doing all the right things. How come somebody won't help me out with this situation right now? And you know, he had talked to Moxley, who kind of understood, said, hey, you know what, don't sweat. I like you. You know, we'll get you booked or whatever. And, you know, he'd get booked at a city and be told not to show up at the building because CM Punk was there, which can, you know, I mean, that's a pain in the ass. Doesn't matter if you're getting paid or not. And eventually Mega left under circumstances. We'll someday those will come out, but I am not at liberty to speak about them. And a new guy came into AEW legal, and he saw this mess. And, okay, let's settle this. You know what? We can't use you while CM Punk's here. We'll give you 3 months' pay as long as you sign a non-disclosure agreement. You know, Ryan said, okay, cool. You know, he had been looking at TNA, I believe. His brother had already showed up there. So, hey, you know, I'll go to TNA. I'll work there. I'll get some money from AEW. And then Punk got fired. And all of a sudden, that verbal deal for the NDA went bye-bye. Because, oh, it's not a problem anymore. And and Nemeth is left going, well, wait a second. I thought we had a deal here. Nope. Yoink. And then Tony Khan apparently said, oh, well, maybe we'll use you again. And then by that time, Ryan was like, well, no thanks. I think I got the gist of the story there. Here's the problem, and we've talked about it on this show for ages to me. When you build a company around friendships, which AEW was, I followed a few of these people on social media who weren't wrestlers, who were working at the company, but, you know, wives and spouses were given, you know, corporate jobs, and Mega came over and became very friendly with a lot of the other VPs, especially Amanda Huber. And, you know, they were hanging out socially, and you'd see them at concerts at Daly's Place and whatnot. But eventually, if you build a company with a corporate backbone, sometimes you're going to have to use that backbone. And it seems that nobody in AEW wants to be the bad guy, especially with someone making a lot of money or someone who's seen as a rainmaker slash big star for the company. And then it goes into circling the wagons and protecting the company.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And that doesn't speak well to the boys. Now, I'm not going all... Ray Phoenix had a ridiculous tweet where he said he was treated inhumanely, and I'm here to tell you, you know, when you can work half the year because you're injured the other half of the year, make that much money, still complain about your coworkers, that ain't inhumane treatment. Go enjoy, go be with Vince and have fun, kid. You know, I've heard far too much about the Lucha Brothers backstage antics at times to even go with a response there. But, you know, it seemed like Nemeth was trying to do the right thing and go by the book. And yeah, he may have overstepped a bit on social media, but who amongst us hasn't? And Punk is Mr. I'm going to do everything like a professional. The job is to make money, blah, blah, blah. While secretly, you know, still has his knives out, if he wants them. So I it's funny because there's a line in here that says that Parikh, the Young Bucks, and Tony Schiavone showed him empathy during that period, which probably should read sympathy, because empathy means we've been there, done that, and yeah, and nothing was still done. So it felt like everybody was kind of trying to say, hey, we need a grown-up to go into this situation. And there were no grown-ups to be had because, well, let's see if it blows over. You know, let's see if everybody can let's see if cooler heads will prevail when you're dealing with the biggest hothead in wrestling. And I love CM Punk to death. I think even he's a hothead. Of interest to a lot of us old folks, Jesse Ventura, formerly estranged from WWE, will be officially part of the Saturday night's main event broadcast on NBC. Announced on Friday on Bill Simmons' podcast, Ventura will be part of the Saturday night main event broadcast team, returning to network television next Saturday, December 14th in prime time. He also said he will be doing all four episodes a year. I assume he will be in character, and I assume he will be the backstage interviewer. I don't think they're going to put him on color. Kind of interesting. I have a soft spot in my heart for Jesse Ventura, the wrestling guy, but I thought he had outgrown it and become a serious politician, and then he kind of went a little conspiracy nut. Not a fan of Jesse Ventura, conspiracy theorist. And perhaps he's now just gone through the looking glass back. Maybe he's regressed back to bandana, sunglasses, looking at his biceps, Jesse Ventura, which is what I want. We'll see if he's able to still play the part. I'll be very, very intrigued by that. I don't like Saturday night's main event in prime time. I think that's a joke. You put it up again instead of Saturday Night Live, which stinks, in my opinion. Hasn't been funny in years. It's terrible. Get rid of it. Except for Keenan. Keenan's funny. Kate was funny too. I think I got that name right. Yeah. But there are funny players. It's just the show isn't that funny because they're far too safe for me, but nevertheless. WWE LFG will offer viewers an inside look at the rigorous sport training process featuring iconic WWE legends such as Paul, Triple H, Levesque, Shawn Michaels, and regular coaches Undertaker, Booker T, Mickey James, and Bubba Ray Dudley as they mentor a new generation in weekly matches on their quest to become the next WWE superstars. Stop this. Reality shows about professional wrestling are terrible. They're stupid. And this is going to be another one. There'll be a little bit of wrestling, and there'll be that stupid thing that they started doing with the real world once they decided, you know, this isn't going to be an important socio-political statement. Let's get all the kids drunk, and we'll give them a little quest, like they work at a restaurant for a day. And, oh, the stupid. Stop this. I hated what Tough Enough became. It became a competitive reality show, and that's not as interesting as watching guys like Proving Ground was interesting. Watching NXT people kind of go through the motions of their life and stuff. Look, there's a lot of set pieces in that. It wasn't real by any Noof, God bless her, Aaliyah, and the William Regal stuff was some of the most vapid crap I've ever seen on television. But you know, the Corbin stuff, the Tino Sabatelli stuff was kind of intriguing. You know, you kind of get to know these people as opposed to here's the character I'm playing on this reality show. And God help me, Booker T, Undertaker, and Bubba Ray Dudley. Hard pass. Number one, I want Undertaker to protect his aura a little bit and not be into this, but I think he needs the money. Booker T and Bubba Ray are just annoying to me. Like, I had to basically mute NXT deadline because Booker T is just, I can't take this. I want him off. I want somebody who I can listen to who will actually try to help the product instead of try and scream into a microphone to make people laugh. I can't with that. Mickey James is fine. I like her. Ratings this week, Dynamite, 586,000.17. NXT, 593,000.13. Win one, lose one, push. NXT is happy with that number. AEW is not happy with their number. Make of that what you will. Injuries and whatnot. Juice Robinson, broken fibula. He was replaced by Commander. Bronson Reed and Tongaloa both suffering injuries in the War Games match. Bronson Reed, broken ankle. Tongaloa, torn biceps. As we get into a truncated lazy river of wrestling criticism, I watched Raw and SmackDown. I thought both were very good, especially Raw. The promo segment to start that show was so good between Sammy and Seth and Punk. It was great. And then the cherry on top was the return of Drew McIntyre at the end. I loved it. It was great. There's actual heat. There are people who remember things. The characterization is not against type. Everybody's kind of remaining consistent. There's logical consistency here, as Nov points out. The New Day segment was absolutely sublime. Did not see that coming at all. Did not. Thought maybe Big E and Woods would turn on Kofi, or Kofi and Big E would turn on Woods. Did not see them coming to agreement over their hatred of Big E for not coming back. But when you think about it, it's deep. It's like, yeah, you've been around WWE, Big E. You've been doing the pre-shows. How come you didn't come out and support us? I like it. I like the twist. And I want Ridge Holland as a part of this group. It's hard to root. Like, they tried this early, and when the first incarnation of the New Day, and I think also the third, the first one where they were wearing suits and they were kind of playing, you know, for lack of a better term, black separatists. I might be going a little bit far on that one. But the third one, where they were kind of like troublemaking heels, I thought was a fantastic run, you know. But it's hard to root against Kofi Kingston. And you take away, I think, his signature rumble spot, which, what's a contrived way we can get there? He doesn't have 2 feet on the ground. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to me. I'm looking forward to that. The women's matches were good. I think I'd actually have, in terms of the two mid-card belts, I know people are saying Bayley, but I think Mia Yim. And then on the other side, God, I think they're going to give it to Tiffany. I do. So that she can be like a double belt holder when she cashes in. I don't know. It was interesting to see Tiffany as a babyface in Minneapolis in her hometown. I mean, I think she pulled it off, but it was great. But that SmackDown with the Chad Gable, Cody Rhodes match was great. And Cody Rhodes, I know people don't like him, and I get why. But that's also why he's so good. His fake sincerity, which is absolutely BS. I see a lot of myself in you. No, you don't. No, you don't. But you watch and you go, okay, I believe the character thinks that. Just a fantastic, fantastic match. I don't think Gunther coming to SmackDown with like a Seth Rollins is going to necessarily work the way they think they do, but Gunther is still a fantastic presence. I love these. He just wants to kill Dom all the time. Thought that was good. I don't like the DIY turn per se, but I understand it. I think the Motor City Machine Guns have to win these titles on a major show to get more over. I think right now they're just guys on SmackDown that nobody really knows. So I get it. And I think it will help protect them in some ways. Because SmackDown's still the little brother, and it is again now that it's off network television. Not much else standing out in the wake of the main roster. I'm trying to think. I don't have my notes in front of me because I didn't take any notes. So, but yeah, I mean, they were both solid shows. I was going to ask this. What do you all think now? I kind of dug it. They're two men down in the new bloodline. I was kind of digging Nakamura as both enemy and maybe questionable ally. I think this new kind of Ronin Shogun character, Nakamura, as kind of an enforcer, the secondary enforcer to the werewolf, I think would be kind of interesting. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, I mean, look, this is surf money for him, so he doesn't need it. His legacy is intact. He's not getting taken out of the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. Let him be a hired goon. Why not? I think LA Knight is dead in the water. The character is just, and once he stops talking and gets beat up, he's nothing. So I don't get SmackDown's much more fresher in my mind, as you can see, than Raw. But yeah, but overall, good week for both shows, I thought. AEW, if you liked wrestling on television, was a good show, I think. I mean, the wrestling was solid, just didn't do a lot for me. I think my issue is they've started to now intersperse short promos for these tournament matches, but they're not getting me there. Like, for example, I would have had Don Callis and MVP the week before the Shelton Benjamin match, just jawing at each other back and forth about how their guy is going to win this match and then win the tournament. They're the two best talkers you have in this company. No disrespect to MJF, who had a decent promo, but you know, these are all pre-tapes. They're good. They're the most interesting thing about this stupid program. But back to the Continental Classic before I get to the Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royal, which is ridiculous. I agree with my partner Paul Fontaine over on the Dynamite show that you pick your stars and you put all their matches on Dynamite. I understand the circular reasoning of, look, nobody watches Rampage and Collision because there's no matches worth it, so you put matches that are worth it on those two shows. I get it. I just don't necessarily agree with it. I think you should have put all of Fletcher's matches, all of Okada's matches, and all of Will Ospreay's matches on Wednesday nights. Make one show dominant, and then maybe you can then bleed other fans into the other shows. But right now, you're spreading it across all, and it makes, like tonight, Kyle Fletcher beat Okada. And 166,000 people will probably watch that show. Maybe 200 if you're lucky. It baffles me. I mean, if this tournament is important for building those stars, then you put the stars on the show that builds stars. And I would have done it that way. Dynamite Diamond Ring Battle Royal is ridiculous. Can we just say that right now? So you have a Battle Royal, not to get a winner, but to get to the last two so that they can then have a match to then have another match with the guy with the ring. No, just do a Battle Royal and have one of them win it. It's just like the bell rang. I went, what? And everybody else kind of went, what? And it was just, this story is already ridiculous in so many ways. I couldn't get past it. I actually liked the squash of Swerve and Max Caster. I think Max Caster trying to get into the Hurt Syndicate when they now have no interest in losers may lead to Bowens. Look, it's very odd. You can have Bowens go one of two ways here. You can either have Bowens be this super babyface that at least gets to beat one or two members of the Hurt Syndicate. Maybe Max and then maybe Shelton Benjamin. You'd also have Anthony Bowens turn heel. And I don't know if I agree with that, because I think the money in Anthony Bowens may have already passed, but if there's money in him still, you make him a babyface and you push him and you push vignettes and stuff as him being out, because he's proud of that. Run into him and his fella in the gym. Go me, Jungle Boy, and Anthony Bowens all go to the same gym. And on two different days, I ran into each of them. but yeah, just find your stars and push them. That's all we ask. And again, it's not going to be the matches that get guys over. It's going to be their promos and stuff. And they need connections. And The reason they don't have any stars is because nobody's connecting to this audience. And I'm tired of hearing other podcasts audience shame audiences when they're not getting any emotional connection in the wrestling. Like, you watch those Continental Classic matches. You watch a Moxley match or a Moxley beatdown has emotion in it because he's being hateful and stuff. But the matches never get any emotional timbre out of it when it's like, okay, we're 15 minutes in and nobody's getting angry or frustrated and using that to work. They're still doing the same smooth spots over and over and over and over again. You know, it's good indie style Friday night at a VFW hall wrestling. Because it doesn't mean anything. Because it's, you know, VFW hall wrestling is for that night only, and to get the spots in and to get everybody to pop. And yeah, PWG would occasionally do a story, you know, that if you put all the pieces together, you'd see for their main events. But other than that, it was just guys doing matches and doing spots and popping a crowd. And the crowd's no longer popping because it's a television product and they want a little bit more substance to it as a reason to watch it. And the main event angle is ridiculous. I have to do a mea culpa. I said that there's no Hangman Page redemption story in here. It looks like they're doing a Hangman Page redemption story. The whole thing with Orange Cassidy and Jay White and him standing together against Mox is preposterous. Jay White should have been tearing Hangman a new one. And then Christian, I guess that they've now written out Christian out of the four-way so he can come and do a cheap contract cash in and make it a five-way in a way. But Orange Cassidy is now replacing Christian in this story. Yeah, it just isn't doing it for me. The Death Riders as an act are fine. I still call Claudio, you know, Claudio's such an impressive physical specimen, but his offense means nothing. You know, and he's doing fine in this tournament and stuff, but, you know, you have a lot of guys who are good, but you have a lot of guys who can be stars. And I think what they're going to do here is I think Paul's also right on this. He's talked me into it, is that Okada's not going to make the top two in his division. He's going to be struggling, and it's going to be Garcia and Will. And then on the other side, it's going to be Fletcher and Garcia. And then on the other side, it's going to be Ospreay and, you know, what's sad is I got to get these divisions in. So let me figure it out here real quick. C2 divisions, AEW. I want to get this right. It's not going to be Commander, I'll tell you that much. okay, they don't have it in here on my thing. Okay, show. Here we go, 2024. Boom. Okay, so you're... Just give me the divisions. Okay, here we go. Yeah, Fletcher and Garcia, 1 and 2 on that side. And then the other side is going to be Ospreay and... I think Darby. And so you get Fletcher versus Darby. And Will versus Daniel Garcia. The two young guys get beat. And then you have Fletcher versus Ospreay for the Continental... for the C2. So this is all a Kansas City shuffle to get to a Fletcher-Ospreay rematch when we could have just done it as a feud. That's my opinion. I don't know. It's a fine tournament. It's just round robins to me need a lot more talking in terms of in between matches, during matches, or before matches, build, have the schedule out beforehand so you go, hey, circle these matches because these are, I mean, but you can't really do that because then you give other guys short shrift. A lot of these, like half these guys in each division are guys that we've been seeing lose over and over again, so they don't mean all that much. I don't know. But, you know, if you like it, if it gets you off, I'm not gonna shame you. I just don't want to hear Dave Meltzer and Alvarez and the post-wrestling guys, you know, oh, this crowd doesn't seem to be into it, even though it's perfectly fine wrestling or good wrestling. It's like, well, they don't care about that. They want to see, like, Brody King try and kill somebody, I think, you know. They want to see murder death in a way. They want these tournament matches to matter to the guys who are doing them. And I don't think you're getting that necessarily. I think you're getting them doing matches. And I think, and that's not anything on the guys necessarily. That's a production note you have to give to the guys. You know, when you're agenting a match, you have to say, hey, here's where you get angry and fired up and stuff like that. Instead, they're going, well, what do you guys want to do? Well, go out and do it type of a thing. Don't leave it there. You've got enough audio from me. I've talked too much. I have a nice shandy here that I'm drinking and I'm enjoying it. I'm going to go watch a movie because it's easy. Early enough in the evening. Be back next week with hopefully a co-host. So we'll be more entertaining and do a better job. I'm Jeff Hawkins. You follow me at CrapGame13 on X. You follow me at Jeff Hawkins on Blueski. Don't think I'm going to be there very long. I don't like some of the things being said over there. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes, all one word. We're part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. As I've alluded to earlier, I'm also on the Dynamite Show on Fight Game Media. Wednesday nights, about 20 minutes after that show goes off the air, Paul Fontaine and I go live on YouTube. Drops in your podcatchers for free every Wednesday. Remember, get those questions for the Ask Us Anything in there. Get any thoughts as to whether or not this show should go on? Should it change? Would a historical wrestling show work without guys who were actually there in the era and with history that's even far past these guys and their sons for the most part? Because I like 80s wrestling. Let me know, but we'll see you next week. I've talked enough. Let's get out of here. No button.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.